Good morning. Thanks so much for tuning into your community radio station, KRBD Ketchikan. I'm Maria Dudzak, and as we have been announcing, coming up in September is National Preparedness Month. Their tagline is Disasters Don't Plan Ahead, You Can. And that is something we'd like to bring up today. I am joined in the studio by Dave Owings of CPRO. We had other guests planned, but they were called away on an emergency. And you mentioned that, Dave, so maybe you could kind of briefly say what happened and where everybody headed out to. Certainly we don't have details, but they just had to go do their jobs.
They had to go do their job. Steve Rydeen and Abner Hoag are two of our local fire chiefs who are part of the LEPC. They were called out early this morning for a structure fire somewhere in the north end. So we hope everyone's okay, all the residents and the firefighters.
Okay, all right, and thank you for being here. And what this discussion of today is planning, making a plan for yourself, your family, and your friends. And interesting in the news as well, we're hearing about Hurricane Harvey. And boy, you know, how do you prepare for something like that? But we can do our best to prepare for what we foresee is out there. And I'm trying to think of what are the things that are common here. I mean, certainly we've seen last week some people experience flooding due to culverts blowing out and heavy rains of the last, you know, week and so. So, you know, certainly you can't know exactly what might happen, but planning ahead can help.
Absolutely. And an old friend of mine who incidentally lives in Texas told me years ago, you hide from the wind and you run from the water. And so I think that's what we're seeing happen down in Houston.
And what do you have any sense of what people should be preparing for here? What are the perhaps disasters, situations that we might see in our area?
We can, and we have over the years certainly seen our share of weather-related problems. And I think it's important to note that it doesn't take a Hurricane Harvey or Tropical Storm Harvey to cause an emergency or a disaster for a community. And for us here, we are so tethered to our supply chain that should a barge be held up for weather or have an accident on the way up here and get delayed, we could find the shelves in our grocery stores running low. The pharmacies where we get our medicines could be running low. So I think it's important that everyone kind of take stock of things that they need to keep them and their families going, whether it's diapers for a baby. I think if I had a newborn in the house, I'd want to make sure that I had a nice backup supply of diapers. So if something happened, we'd be able to deal with that.
I think that's a good point, is we are dependent on the supplies that come in here. And maybe that's a question to ask yourself out there. Do you have enough backup food, emergency water? I know that sounds unusual. But do you have the ability, if you needed to boil water or something, do you have those supplies and things should, say, something happen and our municipal water supply gets cut off because some earthquake happened, a line gets cut, or whatever may happen. Food, you mentioned diapers, other supplies, maybe supplies for your pets as well, whatever you need for your family.
Absolutely. Again, I hit on it briefly, but people that take especially maintenance medicines for different things, make sure that you've got a backup supply. So if something happens and the pharmacies close down or the barge doesn't get in, that you're able to work on maintaining your health. Water. There's a couple different ways you can deal with water. There are water purification or treatment devices. So you could go and capture some water here and treat it. Boiling water is a good idea. We're kind of blessed with a nice ready water supply.
We are, but it is depending on kind of how you're getting it, where it's coming from.
Absolutely.
You can't necessarily just drink it as is.
Out of the creek.
Yeah. So do you need to think about that? And I agree. Some people I know have, I guess, some sort of filtering device that they use. And having something like that, getting it in advance. And I think
yes.
that's the big thing about planning.
Yeah.
Everybody's going to be rushing to the store at the same time when something happens, and it's important to plan ahead. And a lot of that is making a list, look at the things that you may need. And I know last year, I believe it was last year, it might have been 2 years ago, there was a really big effort of getting people to start your emergency kit. Flyers were put in the newspaper, and it was like, this week, do this. You know, this day, do this. And rather than looking at the whole thing, which can be very expensive to get all these items together, emergency items together, maybe backup, flashlight, emergency radio, things that you can hand crank so you don't have to have batteries, but having emergency batteries as well, those kinds of things, if you just do it little by little, eventually
yes.
you get there.
Yeah, and there is a great resource. I mean, with the internet, we've got some phenomenal tools at our disposal, and one of them is the ready.alaska.gov website. And on there, you'll find a plan to build a 7-day emergency kit. 7 days is may seem like a long time, but boy, a week goes by awful fast. And there is that plan has it's a 12-week program where over the course of 12 weeks you build your own personal emergency kit, and so it's done that way, so it's not you're not going out and spending hundreds and hundreds of dollars trying to get all this stuff at once. You just it's kind of like eating an elephant. You do it a bite at a time, and over the course of 12 weeks you can build an emergency kit that'll keep you going for 7 days.
And that, I think that they say is you should have a go kit as well, which has enough for 3 days, an extra, and ready to go. That's the other thing too, is have it ready to go. So if you needed to evacuate your home, you grab it, you run, and you're ready to go versus where did I put that? Where is this? You have the things you need. You have some spare clothing. Your spare medications, if you need them, just whatever you might need for a 3-day emergency go.
Absolutely. Some people call that a bug out bag, where if the end of the world is coming and for whatever reason I have to leave my home and I can't go back, I grab this bag and it'll carry me through the next 3 days.
And with the 7-day plan, and many people actually go beyond that. I mean, that's
yep.
what they consider as kind of your minimum, is at least have stuff for 7 days. That is to shelter in place, correct? Isn't kind of the plan of
yes.
I'm going to be here, and I mean, I have access to certain things, to electricity or food or water, or access to get to a store because of whatever has happened, and so having that there so that you're good to go.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah, and I think we've all had the experience of going to the store and finding that the container that brings the milk up didn't make the barge or something. So we've seen empty shelves in the store, and so that should help drive home just how important it is for us all to have that emergency kit. And now with some of the freeze-dried foods and the gosh, a lot of people do that, kind of make their own and just vacuum seal. You can have pretty tasty meals at home, even when the power's out.
And there are some products out there that have like a 30-year shelf life.
Yeah.
So, you know, maybe they aren't. I don't know if they're the tastiest or not. I'll have to be honest; I haven't had them. But in a pinch, in an emergency, if you are unable to get fresh foods. There you go.
Absolutely.
At least you have something on hand.
You know, when my oldest son was growing up, he went through Boy Scouts here in town. And so we used to camp a lot. And we tried all the freeze-dried foods that some of the local Tongass had a great selection of freeze-dried foods. So you just add boiling water and let them sit. And, boy, when you're cold and wet and tired, those taste pretty darn good.
Right. We're talking about putting a plan together, making a plan. What are some of the other things to consider when putting your plan, a plan, an actual plan together? We're talking about kind of getting prepared here, but also a plan. Like where to go, what to do, where to meet, things along those lines.
Yeah, I think communication is always important. And so to me, that means starting at home with your family so that you have a plan. Everyone in the event of a disaster, everyone knows where to go or how to get in touch with each other. And I think as a parent, one of the most frightening things you could experience is not knowing that your kids are safe or where they are. And so you want everyone to either have a muster point, a place to go meet, or maybe someone to call, and maybe someone out of the community like a relative in the lower 48 where everybody calls down there, contacts that person, just touch base and make sure that everyone understands that we're all okay.
And that is a part of a plan that I've read about that sounds important is have outside contacts, have someone that you all call or a place that you all go so it's known that you're okay. But another thing to think about, though, is depending on what has happened, you may not have cell phone communication or line. However, usually there will be, say, an emergency shelter, and from there you can get a message or something. But to kind of have that plan out there and make sure there's a list of phone numbers of people to call.
Yep. Yeah. Trying to think of what else. The one of the whole communication side of it is important. And hats off to you guys here at KRBD. You've got that emergency backup generator, and so even if the power goes out, you can get on the air. You can broadcast important information to the community, and but as kind of an end user of that, it's important that we all have things like little
hand
portable
crank radios.
Yeah, the little hand crank radios. And a few years ago, you were involved in distributing those to the community as part of a build your emergency kit plan. And I thought that was a great idea. You don't have to worry about batteries going bad because you just crank it up and then pull the radio station up.
And that was done through a FEMA grant, and I am not certain which organization arranged that. It might have been through the LEPC.
It was.
And yes, and those were very popular, and there was, post the time that we put those out, there was a period of time where the power was out for several days, and it's kind of dependent on what part of the neighborhood you were in. But in some cases, they didn't have power for close to a week. And said it was really helpful to have those radios handy. So things like that, thinking about getting something like that. We don't have any more available. Sorry, they were all distributed. But yeah, you yourself can get something like that. Having things on hand ready to go and easily accessible. That's the other thing is where did I put it? How many of us do that? And I will say that, you know, the other day I was looking for the flashlight and it's like, where did I put it somewhere? Where did I last use it? So having that emergency supplies in a specific location, again, planning on communication, that's a great idea. And can you speak a little bit about, I guess the plan for this town, like what is the LEPC speaking about, and are there certain plans, like it hops into effect and it's a go, people start taking over?
We do have a community emergency response plan, and I am not the best person to answer that question. I'm really sorry that Chief Hogue isn't here because I think he's got that whole thing committed to memory, and he's the emergency manager for the community. So he lives and breathes that thing every day.
Okay, and we will bring that up in a future show. If you do have some questions, we'll do our best here to answer them for you. Or if you have some comments or tips, maybe you have some ideas of what you should put in your plan and how to get that plan together and communicate it with your family, you can give us a call, 225-9655 or 1-800-557-5723. And, you know, be great to have some input from folks out there of things that you found work really well for you or maybe you know, things you encountered and said, I wish I had planned ahead with that. And I think another thing that they always talk about, I know in the fire departments, is plan an escape, have at least two ways out of your home, and plan and practice.
Yeah, and ideally out of each room within your home. So, and that kind of ties back to the fire scenario where you can't go out the door, so
how are you going to get out?
It's out the window, yeah. And you know, Maria, you just brought up another good point, and we're seeing this down in Houston where in this huge disaster, the local emergency services are absolutely overwhelmed. And so they don't have any choice but to triage the emergencies as they're called in. And so some of the people that are calling to request emergency services are kind of down, far down on the list, and may not receive help immediately. And so when people build those emergency kits and develop their own family plan, it's important to realize that we all may need to be self-sufficient for some period of time. And calling 911 during a disaster isn't like calling 911 right now where the whole fire department's going to show up.
Right. That is a good point. It's trying to be taking as best as you can, take care of yourself first, helping your neighbors as well. And I know we are working, I'm involved with the community emergency response team, and one of the goals is to actually work on neighborhood plans, in a sense, and have contacts within neighborhoods so people know a point of contact. So not everyone is trying to contact the emergency responders. You have a point of contact or several in your neighborhood who then can report back in. So it's not all these calls coming in, and can go door to door checking on people. Hey, is everybody okay? How are things going? And having that kind of communication. So think about that. If you're a person out there who would like to get involved and help with a neighborhood plan, it's something to think about, paying attention to your friends and neighbors and who may need a little more help. Keeping an eye on those people.
Yeah, especially folks that are maybe a little older and not as nimble as they were 30 years ago. Checking in on your neighbors, or if you know that they're you know, ill and just need some extra help. And not everybody has family around here, so sometimes it's the neighbor checking on the guy next door that makes a difference.
Okay, and it's a time now to think about planning for yourself, planning for your family, and helping plan for your friends as well. And that might be actually helping them, like go check in with your friends. Hey, do you have a plan? Do you know what you would do in an emergency, in a disaster? If you're a person inclined to do that, and ask, and it can't hurt. I mean, to put that bug in other people's ears. If you yourself are a person you've got the plan together, great opportunity to help other people who maybe don't know quite how to do that. And it is sometimes hard because a lot of it sounds good, like, yep, I'm going to make a plan, but where do you begin?
Yep. Yeah.
And you had mentioned there is, you know, some great resources from the government. You can go online and learn more. And I know they also have lots of brochures at the fire department, at least
yes.
The downtown one. I'm not sure if all of them do, but I know at the downtown fire department, lots of really good brochures on checklists, how to prepare.
You know, and we're really fortunate here. There's tremendous cooperation between our different fire departments. And so the fire chiefs meet often. They're all involved in the LEPC, the local emergency planning committee. And I think they all work really well together. So if you need something, any one of the fire, stop at your closest fire station. They'll help you out.
And I was going to say, you know, we talked about having a plan of how you'll communicate with each other, and something to just put in your mind. You know, it seems oftentimes these disasters happen really early in the morning. It seems like earthquakes happen really early in the morning. But it could be any time of the day or night. And perhaps the kids are at school. Perhaps, you know, you're off at work. You're in various different locations and someone else is at home. Playing scenarios, I think, can be mm-hmm. helpful of, if we're in this situation, what should we do? And how do we find out it's safe to go back home and check on our pets or whatever it may be, But kind of, you know, that's something to think about, because it's not always going to happen where you're conveniently with everything you need.
Right.
And that you may have your 7 day supply of things, but it's not where you physically are. And I know there are people who carry it with them.
Absolutely. A lot of folks carry these around in their car. So, yeah, and that you make a great point. The day and the time, for example, a bad thing happening on a weekend means we're not going to have all our kids in school. Churches are likely to have a lot of people in them on a Sunday. Saturdays, I would look for people to largely be at home or out recreating, fishing, doing things like that. So absolutely. And the emergency service providers in the community, the police and the fire, when they develop their plans, they think about those different days of the week and where problems are likely to occur.
Okay, so we have a few minutes left here. If anyone has any comments or questions, give us a call at 225-9655 or 1-800-557-5723. Again, Dave Owings, can you mention the website that you got some information from?
Yes, ma'am. ready.alaska.gov. And they've got some great resources on there. And it's geared for people in Alaska.
And there are, again, other sites. You can go to the FEMA website. I think it's just FEMA.gov. And a lot of good information about emergency preparedness. Again, you certainly can pick up information, as I mentioned, at the fire station. And, you know, again, it's a time to start thinking. September's almost here. And traditionally, that is Emergency Preparedness Month. I'm not quite sure exactly why they... I remember somebody told me once, but in any event, it's just a good time to keep in mind what maybe you need to do to be ready in any kind of emergency. You know, you certainly can't anticipate everything, but at least if you have some things in place and a plan and a good communication plan with your family and friends, then you're a step ahead of the game.
Absolutely. And really, hats off to you guys and to Deb Turnbull for... planning this before it's actually Emergency Preparedness Month. Great job.
All right. And I think we may have a call on the line here. So we'll get there again. September, National Preparedness Month. Remember that disasters don't plan ahead, but you can. And we do have a caller. Am I set up there? I think so. David is with us. Good morning. Sorry, David, let's try again. Hi, I didn't have you on there. Okay, hello.
Hello, just wondering if you could tell me where to go.
Where the emergency shelters are. Okay. Unfortunately, the people who have all that knowledge are not here, but I do know that the high school is an emergency shelter. The church on the corner of Grant and Main is one of the emergency shelters. And there are places that are evacuation sites. So an example of that is the library, which is up here near us. So if there are certain sites that are evacuation sites where you would go there and then they, I would assume, shuttle or bus people to shelter locations. The schools at the ends are shelters, to my understanding, Fawn Mountain and North Point Higgins, because they're places that have kitchens, they have, I believe now, all backup generators, and they can accommodate large numbers of people. That's part of the thing. But, you know, that's an excellent question, David, and we'll hunt down that information and get that posted.
And, David, the local community emergency plan is kept on, we keep an electronic copy on the LEPC website. So if you just Google Ketchikan LEPC, it should take you to the website. There's some good links to emergency preparedness and plans on there also.
Okay.
All right. Thanks so much.
Thanks for the call.
And we should, yes, again, point out we had several people here who are very into the plan and have all those details. They are off helping with a fire situation,
doing their day job.
So hopefully the next show we have, there won't be an emergency. But this, again, also shows the importance of anything can happen. And
at any time.
So, you know, do your best to be prepared. We will not have next Monday is the holiday. And so we will have another call-in show the following Monday on September 11th. And we will give you more details on that as we get closer to that day. But again, hoping everybody out there stays safe. Think about getting prepared for emergencies. And again, great question about where to go. And we will have links on our website to get you ready. Anything else that you wanted to add?
Yeah. No, ma'am. Just thanks again for the opportunity to come up and share some of this with you and everyone listening.
Okay. And again, thank you so much, Dave Owings, for being here. And next time, we will have another topic we will bring up. And the theme for the second week is not making the plan, but planning to help others and the community. And so we'll talk about that. These are kind of the national themes that are going on, and we will also be looking at other things. And something to consider as well, which we plan to bring up in the next one, is those people who are living on boats. That's a whole other community there, and when disaster strikes, how are you prepared, and what should you do if, say, it's a tsunami situation, earthquake situation, and you're out on the water? So we'll have some more information about that next time.